Initiate procedure. Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
MJ Morning Show.
Rock and roll. Showtime.
I'm pretty excited this morning, guys. Do you have any idea why I'm pretty excited this morning? Take a Roxanne Wilder guess.
Because you were on TV?
No.
You were on TV.
Well, we were all on TV.
We
were all on TV.
You looked very good yesterday.
Yeah, shout-out thanks to Fox 13. Shout-out thanks to the Tampa Bay Times. Awesome article hit online last night or yesterday afternoon. Chris Spatta wrote a great piece on the return of the MJ Morning Show. So I'm pretty excited. But no, that's not what. And we'll get into Fox. Lloyd Sowers, man, did an unbelievable piece. That guy is a storyteller.
He's a pro.
That is a dying art. You know, that is a storyteller of monumental proportions. So Lloyd Sowers, we're going to give him some props later on.
It's not just soundbite, B-roll, blah, blah, blah. Yes, yeah, stories.
I mean, really good stuff. So now I'm excited about all that, but what else do you think somewhat excited?
What?
What?
It looks like you're using a new shampoo, if you ask me. And that always puts me in a good mood.
Is that pro?
Is that right?
Is that
all it takes?
Looks great.
I'll tell you what, hang on a minute. We'll really launch the show in just a moment. I'll tell you what I'm excited about. It is a busy, busy show today. Of course, the MJ Morning Show is back on Q105. It is the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. It is 6:08. And I asked the question just a moment ago. What am I really excited about? Froggy, Fester, Roxanne, anyone want to take it? By the way, busy news day, raise one. Awful Eddie Van Halen dead. We'll get into that here in just a minute. I've got a Van Halen story, Fester. I'm going to test your memory on Van Halen.
Oh, great.
All right? We'll get into that in just a minute. It's a busy show. As you know, the MJ Morning Show just loaded every single day. What am I excited about?
All right, hold on. Listen, we can guess all day. Roxanne guessed because of you on TV.
I guess
Froggy guessed shampoo, for crying out loud.
Oh, you got a new car. You got a new car.
No, we're a one-car family.
Peasant.
Seriously, we're one-car. If Michelle needs to go somewhere, like while I'm on the air 6 to 10, she's got to call an Uber. Or United Cab or Yellow Cab. I'm serious. I'm serious.
Sorry. I can picture Michelle in a United Cab.
Yeah. Would you tell us? What are you excited about?
Give you a hint.
You got to watch The Price is Right.
No, my sound. I plugged in my old MJ Morning Show sound effects machine. All these fun noises. How about this one, which probably played 90 million times? Not only Match Game, but it's time for the MJ Morning Show radio quiz. How about that?
How about the intro to Quiz the Craphead? Do you still have that one?
Oh, that's right. Well, I think that was this, wasn't it?
And I think
now it's time for Quiz the Craphead.
Horrible name.
Whatever we would, everything. I use this for everything. And now it's time for. Yeah.
And that's the original Match Game theme song.
Well, no, this.
It's your themes, right?
That's the $10,000 pyramid or $20,000 pyramid. With Dick.
Duh.
Right.
Remember Dick Clark?
I do.
Yeah. This is Match Game.
Get it right.
We use that a lot, so. All right, Rays.
Rays,
come back. Series is tied up 1-1 now, so 7-5.
Yes. How about the Rays pitching? They struck out 18. And Giancarlo Stanton, he had 2 home runs last night. He's racking them up in this series in particular, but that's his 5th home run in 4 consecutive playoff games. What you need to know is that he won the home run derby at Petco Park, so he's very comfortable there.
All right. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, you know a lot about baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Does your current husband, Doug, does he get pissed off if we talk about your ex-husband
No.
who is a Major League Baseball player?
No, no, because he's my current person.
All right, so Yes. All right, so he doesn't, because you were married.
He's your current person?
He's
your current person.
He's the father of my children, for goodness sake.
But your former husband for, mm-hmm. what, like 4 years?
Yes, we were binary. Married. I think paper to paper it was like 4 years. Yes,
paper to paper.
Right.
Was it a messy divorce? Or was
not
it a,
at all.
It was a clean
No.
divorce?
I mean, obviously when you get to the point of divorce.
Did you say,
never...
I want half of your big Major League Baseball money? What was his first name? Wilder.
Paul Wilder.
Paul Wilder. Yes. He was one of the original Devil Rays, right?
He was. He was actually the first pick of the Devil Rays ever in franchise history.
Center fielder? What was he?
Yes, outfielder.
Outfielder.
But he got hurt so much, he was DH, basically.
Oh, he was a designated hitter? Yes. Right. So,
but he was a good guy. You know, we got married when we were very young. For those of us who are in this club, I know a lot of people like this.
Little story about Jack and Diane?
Yeah. You get married when
you're
young.
Hanging out at the Tasty Freeze?
Is he the outfielder that the fly ball hit him in the head and then went over the fence for a home run?
No.
Was that him?
I think that was him.
It wasn't.
I remember that video.
Yeah, it hit his head and then went over for the home run.
No, that was Rufus Flicka Flacka.
I hate Flicka Flacka.
It was Jose Canseco when he played for the Rangers.
Oh, it was Jose Canseco.
Yes. Who played for the Devil Rays?
Yeah. He's the guy that also shot up a whole bunch of roids, didn't he?
Yeah.
A whole bunch. Do you remember when Jose Canseco did a book signing?
Yeah.
At the Sam's Club?
Oh.
And you sent me down there.
I sent you down. Oh, we have a lot of stories. How about Daryl Strawberry? Remember
Daryl.
When he was busted for picking up a hooker on Kennedy Boulevard?
Roxanne
right?
doesn't know about this. He's walking into the courthouse, Daryl, and I'm dressed in drag as a hooker.
Fester was in drag. Dressed as a hooker. Daryl, it's me, Daryl. Oh, my God.
I don't know anything about baseball. This Giancarlo Stanton guy, why don't we just hit him with the pitch and get him first base? If he's that good, hit him with the pitch every time. Come on, Rays.
Kind of defeats the purpose. Rays would like to do that, yes.
So congrats to the Rays. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a good thing they won. If they would have lost last night, I mean, it might have been tough to dig out of that grave.
Right.
But,
no, I knew they were going to win. They're going to come back.
Is it a 5-game series or a 7-game
series?
It's a 19-game series, Fester.
Jeez, it feels
and
like.
And tonight, the game's at 7:10, a little earlier.
Gotcha. Hey, you know what else I'm really excited about?
Okay, in addition to your sound machine?
the Dr. Fauci action figure. Did you see this?
Oh, no.
There is a Dr. Fauci action figure. I'm telling you, we're going to be all over the road today. Eddie Van Halen, dead. One of the greatest guitar players of all time. We'll get into that coming up on the MJ Morning Show. We're back on Q105.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Eddie Van Halen, dead of throat cancer at 65. Now, I remember reading some time ago that his health was bad. I had no idea that death was going to be fairly imminent here. It's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. And, Fester, I might test your memory a little bit on Van Halen. I don't know if I'm going to drop it now or drop it later. We'll see.
Okay. I don't remember much about you. I'm trying to put together you and Eddie Van Halen in the same.
Well, you're involved.
Store.
You're sort of involved in this mix as well. It's not just me and Eddie Van Halen or Van Halen, but you. Look at Fester. He's over here. Smoke is coming out of your.
I've never met the guy.
Don't worry about it. You just wait.
Just wait. I'll fill you in. And there is an MJ Van Halen story. I don't want to give too much away.
Involving me?
You were part. We'll get to it at some point this morning.
Okay.
All right? I want to see Fester rack his brain.
Oh, he's racking his brain
right
now.
For a little bit of time here.
All right.
Yeah, so the news broke. Was TMZ the first to announce this? I think it might have been TMZ yesterday.
Or his son put it on Twitter.
Oh, is that, so it hit Twitter first?
Yeah, his son announced the passing of his father.
You mean Wolfgang?
Yeah, Wolfgang. Of course, Wolfgang joined the band.
Right.
He joined Van Halen. And I do have the tweet here. Was it a tweet? Oh, Instagram. This was on Instagram. He also put out a tweet as well. Wow. Wolfgang tweeted, "I can't believe I'm having to write this, but my father, Edward Ludwig Van Halen, has lost his long and arduous battle with cancer this morning. He was the best father I could ever ask for." He's 29 years old. Then he finished up with, "I love you so much, Pop." Oh. God, that'll make you tear up.
Heartbreaking. God. And Valerie Bertinelli wrote a really nice Instagram post as well. Of course, they're not together anymore, but she was with the family when he passed.
Of course, Valerie Bertinelli from 80s sitcom fame. What was that, One Day at a Time?
Yeah, the original One Day at a Time. And
who was that tool with the tool belt?
Snyder?
What is it?
Schneider.
It was Schneider.
Schneider, yeah.
Yeah, the tool with the tool belt. Schneider.
Love that guy.
Hey, that takes me back to like, I think that takes me back to junior high school times when that show was on. Was that CBS?
A young schnit watching Schneider.
A young schnit watching Schneider. You're 100% right. I'm going to give you a number here. I want you to tell me the significance of this number. All right?
Okay.
You ready for the number?
Yes.
Wait, I had the number. I got the number over here. Hold on a minute. Oh, I had the number.
I got it.
You know me. I got tons of paper over here. Tell me what the significance of this number is. 465-6917. 465-6917.
Oh, is that song?
465-9617. No, it's
it doesn't have quite a ring to it.
Actually, it is seven digits, so it couldn't. Yeah, folks, don't dial that up. Yeah, don't dial up 465-6917.
Some poor bastard sleeping right now. You don't know who
the hell you're going to get. That is a patent number. Eddie Van Halen had a guitar patent. Such a brilliant guitar player that he was granted U.S. patent 465-6917 back in 1985, and he called the device musical instrument support, and it allowed him to free up both hands for tapping the strings. And the device, when in its operational position, had a plate which rests upon the player's leg, leaving both hands free to be able to utilize the instrument like never before.
Isn't that called a guitar strap?
No.
You have a guitar strap on, you can take both hands off.
It was designed to attach to the back of the guitar, which would then also be held in place with the musician's neck strap as an assist. And that was according to the drawing, you know, the black and white drawings that you submit to the U.S. Patent Office for your patent.
You know, that's impressive because when I tried to patent tube socks on a roll a couple of years ago, dude, it's a process.
Dude, you've been talking about this for...
That's my invention.
15 years. So that patent helped him with, amazing riffs. You know, we just played Jump a couple of moments ago.
There he is. Right there. He just used it.
Right. Oh, you think that was the device right there?
He's tapping.
Yeah. Or, this is great. This is Michelle's favorite song, by the way. I think it's one of her favorite. Yeah, I think it's might be her favorite Van Halen song.
There it is.
Panama. Look at that. He's using the device right there. I mean, one of the greatest, when you make the list of guitar players, if you do a Google search for greatest guitar players of all time, Eddie Van Halen, I think he's top three.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I mean, incredible.
I think he's up there.
Our technical guy, Coop, comes in the studio this morning about 5 o'clock, and he's like, what's a guitar riff?
A guitar riff?
Yeah, he comes in, he didn't even know. He didn't even know.
Do you know?
Wait a sec. I sent him an email last night. I spelled it properly. I said, "Hey, pull all of these guitar riffs Now, I don't know. What button do I push on this console to bring you up in there? I don't even know what one it is in here.
Come in here, Coop.
Come in here, Coop.
Do you know that it's not a Rift, idiot?
Yeah,
Coop doesn't know.
Oh, who are you calling?
I'm calling Fester.
Oh, well,
Fester doesn't know either.
Yeah, let's give,
what'd I say?
Let's give Coop some slack. He's our 22-year-old... it's millennial, right?
Gen Zillennial.
Millennials are like 40 now.
30s. Right, so you're Gen Z. Hold on a minute. I got to turn this mic on now. Hold on a minute. But no, that mic won't go on now. What's going on over here?
That's Froggy's mic.
Yeah, well, it won't go on. Look at this. I can't turn the mic on.
It has an anti-funny device.
What the heck's going on over here? Oh, do you have a button pushed in there?
No.
No. Come
to my mic.
Froggy's mic will
Son
not.
Of a...
Froggy's mic.
No.
Froggy's off the air on Q105. Froggy's mic is busted.
I'll just yell. I swear.
You thought it was a guitar riff?
So yeah, I was rushing a little bit this morning.
Hey, Froggy, stop! What are you stop pushing that button? You're turning his mic off now. What are you doing? All right. So I sent you an email. Pull these Van Halen guitar riffs, R-I-F-F, and you thought I...
It was 4 a.m., so I thought, I've read Rift, and I didn't know if you were talking the guitar solo, I didn't know if you were talking, like, the beginning, you know, so I was just making sure that I had the right stuff.
Not real musical, huh, Coop?
Yeah, not the most musically inclined, but...
Let's give him a little break, because there are some words that he probably knows that we have no idea what.
Oh, yeah, yesterday Roxanne asked me what cuffing season was.
All right. So we can talk about that later.
I just stood up for you.
No, I'm not giving at you.
Later on, let's get a little deeper into Eddie Van Halen's throat cancer and the potential cause, what he has said that he thought what caused his throat cancer. We'll get into all that coming up. It's a busy morning. The MJ Morning Show is back. Spread the word. Best thing you can do for us, folks, is tell everyone you know that the MJ Morning Show is back on Q105. Yes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Some folks were telling me that when they went to MJMorningShow.com that they were having some trouble connecting, but every time I tried, it's fine.
It's working right now. If you go there right now, it's working. I've logged on a couple times and it wasn't going there, but we're good right now.
When was the last time? When?
Sunday night.
All right. But since then, it's been working fine, right?
Yes.
All right. So if anyone has trouble going to MJMorningShow.com, probably clear your cache, maybe.
Try again.
In your browser, and please try again. Please hang up and try again. All right, so did anyone tune out when I said, hey, we're going to talk about breasts next?
Please, it's all I've been thinking about.
Oh, by the way, we solved Froggy's mic problem. You are such a dope.
Yeah, that was my fault.
So last segment, Froggy's mic would not turn on, and I'm pushing the button. I'm mic 1, Froggy's mic 2, Fester's 3, Roxanne is on mic 5, and I'm trying to push mic 2, and you heard Froggy like in the back, hello! Froggy's in the background. And we figured out why Froggy's mic would not turn on.
Because you were pushing it at the same time?
No!
No, it's not quite as technical.
Yeah. Froggy's backpack was sitting on the off button on the countertop.
Yeah, my knapsack was sitting on it.
His knapsack was on the button, on the off button. And he said, oh, I think my backpack might have been on the off. Yeah, duh.
Well, listen, it's going to take a while to get used to this radio thing and what these OFF buttons mean. But I'll get there.
Yeah, the oof button is really a...
Do you think that a student should be breastfeeding her child during an online Zoom class for a college?
Ooh, good question.
Go ahead.
Very... pro breastfeed.
Did you breastfeed your kids? Is that too personal?
Not at all. Right. No.
Yeah, Michelle had the latch on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she did that with both Chloe and Julian. A California college student says that her professor said, no, you can't breastfeed during class online. And the professor said that we have a student that was trying to do inappropriate things. This young college student says she was humiliated and then realized that he should be the one that's humiliated. This is a young mom. She goes to Fresno City College out in California, Marcella Mares. She wrote the story on Facebook and said this guy had the audacity to say that it is very weird to be doing those things during class, breastfeeding mamas and any mama that is trying to juggle school work, and a child should be praised, not put down or humiliated.
Is it ever weird to feed your child? No.
She explained that her teacher had just changed the requirements. So the teacher, probably just to make sure that the students were engaged and plugged in, the professor, the teacher, the instructor changed the requirements in the class and then told the students that they had to have their cameras and microphone on.
Oh, you couldn't even hit the mute button.
In order to get credit for the attendance part of the class. So you had to have, for the attendance part, you had to have your mic and your camera on. And he noticed that her baby was breastfeeding. I don't think that she was displaying boobage. I'm sure she was tastefully covered up or...
And who cares?
Or did he not see it because she was covered up, but he just heard because of the mic rule?
Yeah, I don't think that was the
case.
You're
missing the biggest part of the story and will answer a lot of questions. How does she look?
Froggy, we stop.
He's just wondering.
He's not wrong.
I mean, come on. Think about it.
I don't agree with him, but he's not wrong.
I have not seen a picture of her.
Oh, there's no picture of that.
I know. What is the old saying? Worthless without pictures?
I got to see it.
I obviously don't have a problem with having my cameras and microphone on, but I might need to turn it off to feed my daughter from time to time. His response was, that's not what you should be doing during class. Do that on your own time.
Jeez.
Whoops.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Little tyrant.
Then the professor announced to the whole class during the Zoom session, I got this really weird email from a student stating that she needed to do inappropriate things during lecture time. You guys need to understand that you have priorities now, and you need to put all those distractions aside or be creative when your child needs you and give your full attention in my class.
I can think of a million other things I would deem inappropriate besides breastfeeding a child on a Zoom call. I mean, if the professor wants to get technical.
Anyway, she complained and she contacted the school's anti-discrimination office.
Good for her.
They settled with her for $4.1 million.
What?
No. All right, I made that up.
That sounded good. That's a happy ending.
I'm kidding.
$2 million a boob.
No settlement. I'm joking. But, you know, this is probably going to be a lawsuit. I mean, it smells like a lawsuit, right? But she did get an apology. She got an apology from the anti-discrimination office. Sorry for the inconvenience, now the professor says. Obviously, they had a little chat with the professor, and he said, sorry. Then if you need to breastfeed your child, guess what? She ends up dropping the class. But she says not for the breastfeeding deal. She dropped the class, she said, for unrelated issues.
Okay.
Hmm.
So, should you be breastfeeding your kid during a class, or should you, when the baby's crying and the baby's hungry?
Have to have the mic on, you should definitely be breastfeeding your child so that your baby is not crying, disturbing other people who are taking the class. So that's actually courteous. And I think we can all agree that she probably was not showing from the neck down.
Yeah.
So she's not going to offend people in that regard.
There's got to be some kind of exception. If you're going to have these Zoom calls and you're forced to be home, there's going to be other things to take your attention away.
All right, so I would just make a recommendation to this woman. Keep your baby away from Fester, because Fester does have man boobs and your baby might want to latch on.
Listen.
Why are you holding your head over there, Roxanne?
MJ likes making fun of my man's ears. Listen, he has a fetish with him.
It's a sore spot.
It's in defense of Fester.
Fester gets so pissed off when I talk about his man.
What MJ doesn't realize is man boobs. Fat people have a fat sit-in here at the Beasley Media Station. Listen, he's trying to impress his new employee. I'll lock this place up.
6:51, it's the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the MJ Morning Show on Q105 at 7 o'clock, and if you're just tuning in, you might have missed it. Roxanne was joining us in a conversation about breastfeeding because there was a story out of California where a student was breastfeeding during the online Zoom class, and it caused an issue with the professor, and, well, it turned into a whole thing, and the school had to apologize, the professor had to apologize, and... Why do you tell the story during this segment? You should have told the story. So you have a breastfeeding story.
I do.
Because you breastfed both of your kids. You've got a 3.5-year-old. Mm-hmm. You've got a 9-month-old.
Yes. And right. I'm done, by the way, with the 9-month-old. But
you give it away?
You're done with her? I'm done with her.
You mean you mean you're done with kids?
Done with breastfeeding.
Oh, done with breastfeeding.
With the 9-month-old. Right. I'm not still breastfeeding.
Are you thinking about having more kids?
No, I'm not trying to set any records.
Okay.
You're not a dugger?
All right. So, what is your breastfeeding story? Were you breastfeeding online as well?
Yeah, no, not online, in person.
Right.
I was at a restaurant. It was one of Doug's and my first trips out after being new parents. We're haggard, harried new parents. We're enjoying an early bird meal in a corner booth. Nobody's seeing my boob. It was a seafood restaurant.
Which one?
A seaboob restaurant, I guess. What? No, it wasn't a seafood. Again.
Which restaurant?
One in our neighborhood. Yeah.
Well, you can say what it is.
I think it was.
Were you at Long John Silver's?
Surf Shack. No, I was not.
You went to
Surf Shack.
McDonald's sells Filet-O-Fish doesn't mean it's a seafood restaurant.
We love that place. Okay, it's not a dig on them at all. The story.
Okay, all right, Surf Shack. Okay. It's fine. I don't blame them. I think it's a funny story. All right, so what happened?
So we're in there, and of course, again, I say, "Oh, let's each have a glass of wine." So we get our glass of wine. A baby starts to fuss, so I'm going to breastfeed her. And by the way, when you're feeding a child in those early stages, that's all they eat is breast milk.
Right. Of course.
So she's ready to eat. I'm not going to not let her. Nor am I going
to
let her disturb.
I start to breastfeed the baby.
No one sees
restaurant,
anything.
Yeah.
Yes. My little corner booth.
And
the waitress comes up, and she is like, she's a young girl. She kind of looks at me, and she has these shocked eyes, like, oh. And I could tell something was wrong. So she goes away. The manager comes back
manager
a little later.
Back,
the manager comes back. And she kind of giggles, and she says, oh, she just was shocked that you're having a glass of wine and you're breastfeeding. And I look at Doug. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Wait a sec. You don't want to drink a lot while you are pregnant.
While the bun's still in the oven.
When the baby's in utero, you don't want to drink. And later in the pregnancy, some doctors will say that, you know, in the last couple of weeks, or you can have maybe a little bit of wine, but you don't want to get all liquored up. You don't want to have a baby with fetal alcohol syndrome. It's okay that once your baby is out, and you're breastfeeding, you can have a glass of wine. So what did your husband do?
What he did is when the waitress came back, he said, can we have 2 shots of Jägermeister, please? That wasn't enough.
That's great. It's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. That's right. The MJ Morning Show is back on Q105. We'll talk about our Fox 13 piece last night. Also, a great piece written by Christopher Spada in the Tampa Bay Times yesterday. We were the front story for quite some time yesterday afternoon. We'll get into that. 7-Eleven at the MJ Morning Show. This Netflix cuties thing is causing quite a stir, quite a storm. We'll get into that in a second. First, though, Pat George with a traffic update. Big old mess on the Courtney Campbell.
Big old mess. They've got it shut down right now westbound if you're headed into Clearwater between Bayshore and McMullen Booth. And I just looked at it on the map, and it is not moving. So lanes are blocked. If you can avoid this by using Hillsborough Avenue.
All right, so wait a minute. So this is going to be westbound heading into Clearwater.
Right.
So Tampa over to Clearwater.
Yeah.
So it's closed right when you get off at the end there?
Right at the end. So
right, we have the gas station before you turn to you turn right onto McMullen Booth
and all that as you head right in.
So how far is it backed up onto the Courtney Campbell going back to Tampa now?
It looks at least a mile and a half.
Oh, geez. That's all right. Well, keep us updated.
We'll keep you updated.
All right. Pat George with a traffic update. Courtney Campbell, a mess if you're headed westbound from Tampa toward Clearwater. Now, who brought up Cuties? Who brought this up on the program? The Netflix.
On the podcast. I did.
It was on the podcast. Mm-hmm. That's right. So we're still doing the MJ Morning Show podcast for a while here, and we're just telling our pod. A lot of folks don't know this, but me, MJ, and Froggy and Fester, we've done an MJ Morning Show revival podcast for a year now, and you know, tens and tens of thousands of downloads, hundreds of thousands of downloads actually, and here we are back live on Q105. So we had Roxanne on the podcast on Tuesday, the latest podcast that dropped, and Roxanne, you brought up now why did you bring up Cuties? Why'd that come up?
Funny, now that you say that, I have no idea why I brought it up, but I did. It must have been on my mind.
But if anyone's seen it, I don't mind grabbing a call or two on this. If you've seen Cuties on Netflix, 800-990-1047. 800, that's the number to call. 800-990-1047. If you've seen Cuties and you have some thoughts on what we're about to talk about. Now, you did say, or Fester, you were aware of it, and you guys both said it's creepy, because is there a sexualization of children? I've read the story on it. I have Netflix. I mean, do I even want to watch this thing?
Yeah, I haven't seen it, and I don't want to see it, but from everything I've heard and read, it's really sexifying.
There's one scene at the end, dancing scene, that is... like, beyond horrendous.
Hold on. Did you watch it, Froggy?
I've just seen the dancing scene from the stories.
Whoa. Would you just go to Netflix and fast forward it to the dancing scene?
No. I read about it, and then I looked it up on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and type in Cuties dancing scene, it comes up.
All right, so this is a huge issue, and actually, a Texas grand jury has just indicted Netflix. Netflix has been indicted by a grand jury. In Texas, for allegedly promoting lewd visual material, this is the French film Cuties. The grand jury in Tyler County, Texas, returned the indictment against the streaming giant on September 23rd, but the details of the indictment just unsealed yesterday, and the indictment says that Netflix, quote, did knowingly promote visual material which depicts the lewd exhibition of the genitals or pubic area of a clothed or partially clothed child who was younger than 18 years of age at the time that the visual material was created, which appeals to the prurient interest in sex and has no serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value.
I can sum it up in two words.
Yep.
Camera angles.
Really?
Inappropriate. I just watched the trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. What was that?
Don't watch it.
It's a move. I'm showing you some of the dance scenes and how horrible they are.
Froggy just brought it up on his phone. Am I going to feel all creeped out and sleazed out here?
No, this is the famous dance scene.
All right.
Look at this.
Yeah, I see it. Oh, this is creepy.
And then it cuts to the proud mom sitting in the audience.
Oh, this is totally creepy. Oh, my God.
No, it gets worse. Look.
Her hands are in her crotch. How old is she?
Watch this.
Oh, my God. Froggy's playing this thing. Oh, this is awful.
Look at this. It gets worse.
Are those the parents?
Those are the judges.
The judges.
Look at that. What?
Oh, this is awful.
It's way beyond, isn't it?
All right, so the Netflix indictment specifically mentions Cuties. It goes by the French name. Is it Mignonet? Is that the proper pronunciation in François? In
French? Oh, that's a French dessert.
Yeah. So it went on Netflix back on September 9th, premiered at Sundance, I guess earlier this year, and it follows the story of an 11-year-old Muslim girl living in Paris who joins a dance crew, and it's been panned, claiming that it exploits and sexualizes children.
It does.
I agree. Yeah, so Senator Ted Cruz is among several Washington lawmakers who've called for a Department of Justice investigation over Netflix here.
How's nobody at Netflix like, guys, I don't know about this scene in this movie.
Yeah, really?
We might want to think about it.
In a statement yesterday, Netflix told the New York Post that Cuties is a social commentary against the sexualization of young children. This charge is without merit, and we stand by the film. So Netflix is standing by this thing.
What?
But, yeah, thank you, Froggy, for scarring my retinas with that crap. I don't need to...
It's just crazy. I can't believe it.
Pull up a video of Carol Baskin dancing.
Just to wash out his brain, cleansing
your palate.
717, it's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Q105, Phil Collins, and you guys saw the video of the guy allegedly seeing or hearing the drum hits in the air tonight for the very first time and freaking out, right?
I love it. I saw that. It makes your heart melt. I mean, he just was freaking out when he heard that music. It's a good one on YouTube.
728, it's the MJ Morning Show, and yes, we are back in Tampa Bay on Q105, 104.7 FM. Please spread the word. Hey, thanks to Fox 13 last night for spreading the word. Great story on the MJ Morning Show return. We'll get to that later on. Also, the Tampa Bay Times, awesome story on the return of the MJ Morning Show. Now, Fester, are you going to shoot this idea down? Are you going to say absolutely not? Are you shutting us down on this? This, Froggy, would this be absolutely hysterical?
This might be pretty funny.
First of all, I think you're showing how broken your barometer is for comedy. When you think a nearly 50-year-old man jumping around in a leotard
here's our idea. So we were talking last segment. We're talking about the creepy Netflix film, this Cuties, which has a lot of people up in arms that it's pornographic. It's like kiddie porn. It's people are saying. And now we have an indictment handed up or handed down by a Texas grand jury. Indicting Netflix for the indecency of this film Cuties. And I said to Froggy, we ought to recreate the dance scene. We ought to get Fester in a leotard just like with it. Froggy, that'd be funny as hell.
First of all, I'm very unrhythmic. I'm not a very good dancer.
You did say on the MJ Morning Show podcast that you would not mind being objectified at all.
Well, there you go.
Look at that.
Great.
Look at that.
I'll do it on the podcast.
All right, so instead of Cuties, so if we get Fester in a leotard, and we have Fester emulating the dance moves in the creepy Netflix Cuties.
What can we call it?
Fatties, huh? Fatties?
Come on, Froggy.
Like,
we've been on the air for 3 days. Are you guys ready to alienate the fat community? Have you not seen what's happening to obesity rates in this epidemic?
Froggy. Oh, my God, it's perfect.
I know people are putting on... When I think of Cuties, they're wrecking the cute little Mandarin oranges for me. The little Mandarin orange. Cuties ought to sue Cuties.
You're right.
The Mandarin orange, you know, the bag, the 3-pound bag that you get at the Publix or
at
Costco, whatever.
Get them away from me. I can't eat them.
And then what is the other brand? Halos. Yeah, it's Cuties and Halos. I love those things. Do you know that Mandarins were like dead? There was a huge glut of Mandarins, and then Cuties came up with the name to market those things as Cuties, and the rest is history, and the sales exploded.
Yeah, we have a ton of them at our house. Kids eat them every day.
I love them. Mm-hmm. I think a Cutie, a Halo, whatever, little Mandarins, I think they're fantastic. Absolutely. Eddie Van Halen is gone. Eddie Van Halen dead at the Fatties. Froggy, what are you...
Hey, listen, you recognize genius when you hear it, so.
Is that what happened? So, Eddie Van Halen dead. The news broke yesterday afternoon, 65 years old, dead of throat cancer. Just a terrible story. He was a longtime heavy smoker. He was first diagnosed with mouth cancer back in 2000. Do you know that he had a third of his tongue removed? Ugh.
Geez. I didn't know that, but I heard it yesterday for the first time.
But also, he attributed the mouth cancer to him holding a metal guitar pick in his mouth for years and years and years. Can we hear from a doctor? Are any doctors listening? Holding a metal guitar pick in your mouth, would that give you mouth cancer?
What kind of toxins would be on that?
Metal guitar picks don't have warnings from the Surgeon General on the side of each back of them.
People have metal fillings in their teeth. I think I do.
Yeah. I
mean,
I don't want to be too graphic here, but you know, HPV from oral sex, all right? That's I've known people.
Michael Douglas.
I've known people that got mouth cancer, throat cancer. I've heard the story, and they think that's how it happened, by performing oral sex. I mean, HPV can cause cancer. So that is another possibility. But Eddie Van Halen. All right, Fester.
Yeah.
Let's talk about MJ.
MJ, you.
Me.
You.
I'm not really much of a third. Trump's a big third person guy. I usually don't do the third person. Let's talk about MJ. All right, let's talk about me and Van Halen. Let's tax your memory here.
Okay.
And it's not a direct Van. It's not like I had some kind of meeting or encounter with Eddie Van Halen. But what do you remember regarding myself and Van Halen?
I'm trying to think of you and celebrity interactions.
Come on, Fester.
I'm thinking. I don't know. I don't remember.
Think of February 18th, 2008.
Oh, February 18th
of 2008.
Yes, that was the morning I ate 6 croissants for breakfast. Yes, I don't remember, MJ. I don't know.
February 18th of 2008.
I don't remember anything to do with Van Halen.
Hey, give me a second clue.
Van Halen was playing live at, back then, I think it was the St. Pete Times Forum.
And they brought you on stage.
Nope. Van Halen, February 18th, 2008, live, St. Pete Times Forum. I went to the concert, but what happened to me earlier in the day?
You got jumped.
Come on, Fester.
You got the Eddie Van Halen back tattoo.
Fester.
Was that the... Okay. Come on. You were complaining about it.
Fester.
You injured yourself.
Fester, it's when I had to have emergency surgery.
Okay, you injured yourself.
Because the huge spike from a palm frond pierced my hand. Do you remember the story?
I remember now that you say the palm frond, yeah. I remember that story. And
it has nothing to do with Van Halen.
It does. I'll tell you what.
But I remember him coming in the next morning bitching about having to go to the concert in such pain with his hand all gauzed up.
I didn't bitch. I wanted to go to the concert.
But you were bitching about it because you had a hurt hand.
Here's what happened. That was Monday. The previous weekend, I had the tree guy out, and he's doing the trees in my yard, and I have a really big Canary Islands date palm, and those things are deadly. The huge fronds, and at the base, they've got like knitting needle-sized spikes, and they're like poisonous. There are toxins on the spikes. I picked up a frond to help the guy, and the damn thing went straight through my hand like a razor. And a piece of the end of the spike broke off in my hand, apparently. So my hand was starting to bother me. And that Monday, so it was like just a day or two later, I go to see Dr. Jeff Stone, amazing hand surgeon at Florida Orthopedic at FOI. And he says, dude, you could lose your arm. Yeah, he's seen cases where long
because
people...
Because the poison?
The toxin. They get a bacterial infection, and he says he's seen amputations at the elbow, and he said, I'm canceling my lunch. We're doing surgery on you right now. And he canceled his lunch.
What was he having for lunch?
I have no idea.
Okay, that's it.
So he canceled his lunch, and he immediately operated on me at FOI, and they put me under. I was on propofol, and he was in my hand for like 45 minutes, and they're looking to see if there's, where the spike went, and he was about to give up, and he found it. He's like, he's pulling my tissue and tendons apart inside my hand, and he said, boom, there it is. Saw the inflammation. He said that you could lose your hand, your arm with that.
I have an interesting question. Yeah. When you're at the tree store, what makes you buy the poison spiky tree? Why would you purchase such a thing?
That one. I'll take the poison.
I'll take the one that could possibly kill me.
Canary
please.
Island date pumps. They're great. They're the ones.
Oh, they're wonderful.
They're beautiful.
They're the ones when they're trimmed. The pineapple shape that you get, and I've got a huge one in my yard. And
lean against it, you're dead.
I'm just not touching it. But the point is. I had surgery, and that was the night of Van Halen in Tampa, and I still went to the concert. Fester, I drove myself to Florida Orthopedic, and remember, you had to drive Michelle.
I remember
because I couldn't drive home. You had to pick up Michelle, drive Michelle, so she could pick me up and drive my car back.
Yes.
And then I went to Van Halen that night, and of course, Eddie Van Halen is now dead at the age of 65.
If they would have had to have amputated your arm, you would have looked like another rocker, the drummer from Def Leppard.
Oh, my God. 736.
What am I, pissing off amputees now?
It's the MJ Morning Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
MJ Morning Show, this is Q105, 744, and Roxanne, I've heard this story maybe 3,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever Froggy hears Bon Jovi's You Give Love a Bad Name, Shine Through the Heart, You're to Blame, Froggy has flashbacks to his childhood. This is a terrible story. Should we tell this?
He's going to get triggered a lot on this station.
He's going to get triggered.
That is
a good word, triggered.
Oh, man. It really, like, it makes me sick time I hear it.
You were 10 years
old? I was like 10, yeah.
You were 10 years old?
Yeah, and you know.
It's a terrible story. Why the hell am I laughing?
Well,
it's an awful.
Uncomfortable laughter.
It's an awful. You're right. It's a nervous laugh. It's a and I've got a huge problem. I have a massive, massive problem that has emerged, and I will discuss, because I have a huge dilemma. All right, Froggy, what happened to you when you were 10? That's tied to Bon Jovi, Shot Through the Heart, You're to Blame, You Get a Love, Bad Name.
This is why. Okay, so when I was 10, I was walking down the it was a Catholic school carnival here locally in Tampa.
Where was it?
It was a school, local Catholic school. I believe it was St. Joseph's, I believe was the Catholic
in
school.
In Carrollwood? Where was it?
I don't remember where it is. Right. It's around Tampa. So we're walking down the carnival. What is it called? The Midway, I guess.
Yeah.
And I see a bunch of like ambulances and a bunch of hospital, you know, people and EMS or EMT. What is it? And they're there and they're pulling a kid away from. Do you know what a gravitron is? The gravitron.
Yeah, of course. The thing that spins with centrifugal force.
She over the kid's body sheet. Okay, as. It's supposedly there was a malfunction. The kid got scalped.
Scalped or decapitated?
He got half of his head cut off.
So the kid was alive.
He was alive at that point. But he got it, from here up
on the carnival ride. His head got shaved off.
Yeah, apparently.
But did the child live or die? Do you have any idea?
I believe he died.
Holy crap.
Wait, my mom just texted me and said it wasn't a kid, it was a carnival worker. Maybe it wasn't a kid.
That makes it better, at least.
Okay,
it wasn't a kid. Your mom just texted
you? Yeah, she goes, it was a carnival worker.
I mean, nobody's going to miss a carnival worker.
Wait a minute, would the carnival worker walk into the ride while it was in operation?
I guess he was methed out and walked into it.
are you saying that a Gibsonton carnival worker might have been methed out? Is that what you're saying?
But here's the thing, when this happened... I think it was the yo-yo who has the loud music. The guy was going, all right, here we go. Let's do it. We're time to get shot through the heart. And then they cranked that.
I remember the Himalayan.
Maybe it was the Himalayan.
Was it the Himalayan?
Yeah.
They're all the same ride.
The
Himalayan. Different names.
They all have different names.
I have memories of Baby Hold On To Me. Eddie Money, Baby Hold On To Me, while being at a carnival somewhere on the Himalayan. That thing was cranking. I'm about to throw up from this thing, you know.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Brian Adams on the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. It is 7:56. Hey, guys, I got a problem. I got a big, 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 big problem.
You're going to have to narrow that down because I can think of several problems you have.
What is the worst date possible or the worst day possible to schedule a wedding? Or at least among the top two.
A Tuesday.
Hold on. I'm looking. I'm not looking for.
I would agree with Roxanne.
Hang on a minute.
Terrible.
I'm not looking for a weekday answer or a day of the week answer. More of a day that would be an event. All right, Froggy, your hand is up first. Go ahead.
September 11th wouldn't it be a good day.
You stole my answer.
Damn it.
That is incorrect. So both of you guys. Now, September 11th would not be a good day, okay. Obviously, for other reasons. Think more happy thoughts.
Like the day of the Super Bowl or the
yeah!
day of.
Whoa! Yeah! Whoa!
Oh, that was just
whoa! Really? Look at that. The MJ sound effects machine is back.
Really?
Survey says top answer on the board. Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
Guess who has scheduled a wedding on Super Bowl Sunday 2021?
Hint, non-sports
fans. Yeah. I don't know anybody who's getting married right now.
Well, I do. It's my brother.
What?
Why? My brother Drew. My brother, Dr. Drew, not Pinsky, but my brother, Dr. Drew Schnitt. He lives over on the East Coast. He's a surgeon. His wedding is scheduled for Super Bowl Sunday, February 7, 2021. Just coming up in February.
Are you nuts?
What?
First of all, it's on a Sunday. Is that it's not Sunday normally, right?
What do I do here?
Weddings on a Sunday is rare.
He's holding a. And how rare is it on Super Bowl Sunday?
And you know what? That's just wrong on the part of the people who are hosting it, because the wedding planner should have said, "Hey, you do realize this date."
I don't know if they have a wedding planner.
Is he so tight for money right now that he had to get the Super Bowl day discount?
Oh, because that's a cheap day.
Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing going on this day.
As Joe Biden would say, here's the deal. How many times are you going to say that in the debate tonight?
Come on, man.
There's no debate tonight.
Would you shut up?
Come on, man.
The debate's next week. Tonight's VP.
I'm sorry. That's right. You're right. That's right. Tonight is VP debate. Yes. And is Trump going to make it to the...
He says he is.
Is he going to make it to the next debate? Are they going to agree to that? Because technically he would still be in quarantine. Anyway, we'll get to that later on. But the VP debate is tonight. Thank you. Because I'm thinking Biden is former VP.
Former vice president.
All right. So my brother had his wedding scheduled on Memorial Day weekend. That's when it was scheduled. But guess what? That was like right in the beginning
past year.
Yeah, well, months ago in May.
That's another crappy weekend.
Again, my wife was pissed off about that.
What's the problem?
Who does it? Who's the schedule? So my brother's wedding was canceled. They canceled the Memorial Day weekend wedding, and then they move it to October. So the wedding was supposed to be one of these weekends, I think, in early to mid-October. And they blew that off because of travel and COVID. I mean, we're not out of the woods on this thing. This could be till, middle of next year, end of next year, before we can really return to normal. So that date was canceled. And now they've rescheduled it. And we get the thing, Super Bowl Sunday. First they say, new wedding date is February 7th. I'm like, February 7th? That
sounds familiar.
It's my mother's birthday also.
Oh, happy birthday,
it's
Mom.
It's my mom's birthday. And I'm like, what else? February 7th. And then I look it up, and it comes right up on Google, Super Bowl 55. I mean, what do I do? But my wife, Michelle's like, hey, that one's going to be canceled too, because it's still going to be too soon for people to travel. And then with COVID cases heating back up, with the winter coming, my wife says, don't make a stink about it. If that date is probably not going to happen anyway. But can you imagine? We're launching a new radio show. The Super Bowl is in Tampa. So I would have to go to Fort Lauderdale or Miami, wherever the hell the wedding is, and then try to get back to be on the air the next morning. It's just a pain in the ass.
Selfish of him, really.
Why don't you call him up and tell him to have it on Christmas instead?
Yeah, Christmas morning.
I don't know. Why don't you have him piss off the whole family and tell him to have an 8-day wedding and take up all of Hanukkah? Seriously. Come on. What are you doing, Drew?
Do you want me to have like an on-air confrontation? Should we
yes,
do that?
Please.
He's obviously the dumb schnitt of the family.
He's just a doctor.
You're a dumb schnitt. No, he's a very smart guy.
He's a genius who sounds like Spicoli. I mean, that's it.
Should we do it?
Beyonce's probably the one who picked that date.
Maybe not now, but maybe later today or later this week. Mm-hmm. I'll just say, hey, I want to have you on the new show, and I could just ambush him.
Obviously, he's not a football fan then, huh?
Well, his fiance is not.
Obviously not. His fiance is great. His fiance is Vivi.
Is it at least a day wedding? I mean, the Super Bowl doesn't start till like 6.
She's from Quebec.
Ooh, Quebec,
by the way,
ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that, Fester?
What time of day is the wedding? Is it a day wedding?
It's at 6:30, 4 p.m.
That's like
kickoff.
Son of a...
So deliberate.
6:34.
I mean, what do I do?
You can't make it.
That's it. You're not going.
I can't make that, but I'm the best. best man also.
Oh, God.
Zoom. Yep.
I'm the best man in this thing.
Oh, gosh.
Thanks a lot, Drew.
Isn't that insane?
Are we invited?
Of
course not. We'll have to go.
What the heck do I do here?
Well, you have to go. You're the best man, so we'll tell you what the score is.
My God. All right. 8:02. It's the MJ Morning Show, of course, playing a lot of Van Halen this morning with the death of Eddie Van Halen at the age of 65. Spread the word, folks. The MJ Morning Show is back on Q105, and Eddie Van Halen, rest in peace, my friend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
MJ Froggy Fester. We're joined by Roxanne Wilder. Folks, the MJ Morning Show is back. Spread the word. Have we figured out? Have they decided on the plexiglass tonight? I know this is a big deal between campaigns. You got the vice presidential debate tonight with Kamala Harris and Vice President Mike Pence, and they're arguing over plexiglass. Have you seen the final word here?
No, because I've been too busy arguing with Fester about how to say her name properly.
Yeah,
and I thought I was saying it
you
properly.
You know what? I could have sworn, like last year, and even when she was in the debates leading up to the Democratic nomination, I could have sworn that it was Kamala rhyming with Pamela. I thought it was Kamala rhyming with Pamela. I heard so many, even newscasters, call her Kamala, and then suddenly it became Kamala. Like comma.
And not Kamala.
Not Kamala. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
very confusing.
But they're actually going to put Vice President Pence in a reptile enclosure with a rock and a heat lamp. So he'll be fine.
Right. The latest, though, is that Vice President Mike Pence and the Trump campaign, they don't want a plexiglass barrier. But because of Trump testing positive and all of the COVID-19 ripping through the White House and the West Wing, and Stephen Miller now is positive, Katie McEnany, that they were asking for a plexiglass partition. The vice presidential debate is tonight in Utah, and the Pence team is saying, no, we don't need a barrier because Pence has repeatedly tested negative for COVID-19.
Late last night.
Yep.
Vice President Pence's team has agreed to it.
Oh, they have?
Okay. Yeah, as of like 10:30 last night,
right.
They agreed to putting up a plexiglass divider.
All right, because on Monday night, the Commission on Presidential Debates, they announced that they would assemble plexiglass between Pence and Harris and the moderator to mitigate the risk of infection. And then Pence's spokesman, Mark Short, told the Washington Post that the vice president didn't want a barrier or think it was necessary. And if Kamala Harris wants it, that she's welcome to just surround herself in plexiglass if it would make her feel more comfortable. That's funny, actually. The cone of silence.
Like the boy in the bubble.
After the last debate, I don't even know why the candidates are in the same room. Can't we just do a Zoom call where we can just mics and just one at a time?
Just zoom it in. All right. Lockup sex. Oh, have you guys watched Love After Lockup?
No, I have not seen
it. You know, Fester, I turned you on to that. We're late to the game. Just during the pandemic, we're flipping around. I didn't know about this thing. It's on WE TV. And I think it's already what, the second or third season. Third season of Love After Lockup. And it's like my wife's favorite show now.
Well, Michelle
and
mentioned
it's so set up. It's so contrived.
Right.
You know.
Michelle mentioned it on the podcast.
And by the way, I've always pointed this out, even from the beginning of the reality craze years and years ago during the original MJ Morning Show. Reality television, in many cases, is more scripted than like scripted TV, like CSI. It's a, you know, the lines they you watch, like who are the rednecks with the beards and everything? Who are they?
Duck Dynasty.
Thank you. I mean, come on,
Harper.
And they're delivering their lines so stilted. It's like I'm reading the line that the producers told me to say.
Hey, Uncle Sid, what's his name?
I don't know. I've never seen that
And then
show.
On, like, Bachelor and Bachelorette, they get him so drunk and tired that they can feed the
Big Brother's real.
Yes. Oh, that one's real.
Yes, it is.
All-Stars is heating up.
Lock up sex. 1 in 4 singles who had sex during lockdown did it with their own roommates. So not necessarily a couple. Was this a thing during the lockdown and the initial days of COVID-19 where people were staying in that roommates were having sex? A new survey released yesterday. This is online, some dating company. Oh, Match released this, and they found that nearly 25% of singles who copped to coronavirus sex during quarantine did so with a non-romantic roommate.
They're just getting practice, man. Making sure they still have their skills.
Well, just to work it out.
Or what was that from?
I got to have a talk with Big Lou and Brian.
Those two roommates.
But you know, you're wondering if it's like male-male, female-female, or if, you know, of course there are male-female roommates that share a condo, share an apartment. But that's the story. 10th Annual Singles in America study offers this revealing insight into how singles behaved and acted with this unprecedented pandemic.
I would bet the roommate matchup of straight man and straight woman as just roommates is probably the rarest of the combinations.
You know what? What if we grab some calls on this? Do you think, you know, we're still navigating here. You know, we're building the new MJ Morning Show audience here. You know, back during the old MJ days on FLZ, we could ask for anything. And the phone would ring. I would say, hey, anyone ever get shot in the head with a nail gun? And that's a true...
That really happened.
That is a true story. And we had like 5 callers. Yeah, I was shot, but the nail's still in there.
Happened to me.
I'm a roofer. Seriously. So we're still figuring out the phones, and we're building the MJ Morning Show audience because we're brand new here on Q105 with the return of the MJ Morning Show. But maybe we ought to go to phones.
Mm-hmm.
Any non-romantic roommates that have now hooked up for sex, or you did hook up for sex during the COVID-19 lockdown and the initial days? What were we going to say, Roxanne?
I was going to say, or you thought about it and then decided not to. You can tell us that, too.
That's another good angle. So 800-990-1047, 800-990-1047. Did you have sex with your roommate when you were not romantically involved prior because of COVID-19? All right, 800-990-1047, 800-990-1047. We'll see what kind of calls we get. It's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. Q105, it's the MJ Morning Show. It's MJ, Froggy, Fester, and Roxanne. We are back. The amazing triumphant return of the MJ Morning Show. Of course, remind everyone you know. Tell everyone. Just blurt it out. I mean, just if you're in conversation about something else, just... Just do 1-8. Hey, the MJ Morning Show is back on Q105. Did you know that? 104.7 FM.
Almost like a Tourette syndrome trigger.
Just blurt it right out.
Just yell it.
Just yell it right out. Absolutely. Don't forget, Mason is afternoons now.
Yes, 3 o'clock.
I mean, what a lineup. MJ in the morning, Gino in the middays, and then Mason Dixon.
And then Bobby Rich at night.
Yeah, driving you home, absolutely. All right, we asked the question a little while ago about roommate sex. New surveys out. 1 in 4 singles who had sex during lockdown did it with their own roommate. And these were totally platonic relationships prior. And then suddenly the roommates were hooking up because of not going out to bars, restaurants, and, you know, the lockdown, and people started having sex. And Lisa is on hold. Lisa from St. Petersburg. Lisa, welcome to the all-new MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
Morning, guys.
All right, so
glad to have you back.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa. Do you remember the old MJ Morning Show, obviously? Were you a listener back?
Very much so.
Oh, this is awesome. All right, so Lisa, do you have a story about roommate sex and you guys were platonic, strictly just roommates, and then you started banging?
Yeah, I guess I'm part of a survey now. Who knew? This survey. I'm 37. I have a 29-year-old roommate. Never anything between us. And, you know, of course, you know, lockdown's no fun. So we were hanging out a lot more than we normally did and had a few drinks one evening. Didn't think anything about it. I actually went to my room and got in bed. And just a few minutes later, I thought my cat had jumped on the bed.
Ooh.
It was not the cat.
All right, so this was, but it was consensual, and suddenly you said, okay, what happened?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I was kind of surprised. And one thing led to another and another. And I was like, oh, well, this is good. And,
And is it continuing?
All of a sudden done. He went back to his room. We slept. And, of course, we had a few drinks. So the next morning.
All right. So when did this happen? When? How early in the pandemic? What month was this?
I'd say maybe a month and a half in.
All right. So we are now in October. Are you still doing the hookups, or have they ceased?
There is still an occasional evening, yes.
Good for you.
How do you know when you're ready to? How do you guys give each other a signal? Like, yep, it's... How do you break the ice?
Let's do it.
It's very unspoken, you know? It's just, you know... It's just, if it happens, it happens. It's almost like a friends with benefits situation now.
It's roommates. Right. Roommates with benefits is what it is.
Exactly.
Make a good point.
Right. Exactly. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. Do me a favor. Spread the word. Tell everyone you know, all your friends. Tell, hey, when you're having sex with your roommate, tell your roommate, hey, the MJ Morning Show is back on Q105.
Scream your name. How's that?
Oh, no.
Scream my name.
We don't need that rumor.
Hey, Lisa, what would that sound like? Can you give me a demo?
Oh, my God, MJ.
Todd. Oh, Todd.
Hey, that's reserved for Michelle, my lovely wife. Yeah.
This would make a good porn, right? Like COVID porn, like the roommates, sort of like a new genre.
Hey, thanks to the Tampa Bay roommate porn. I like it.
Go.
All right, so thanks to the Tampa Bay Times. Great story. Chris Spada wrote a great story, The Return of the MJ Morning Show. It was like front page for quite some time yesterday afternoon, early evening on the Tampa Bay Times website, the MJ Morning Show back. Roxanne, you posted that on MJMorningShow.com, right?
Yes, you can find that on MJMorningShow.com. It's on our Facebook, Q105 Facebook page right now, too.
And then, of course, on Fox 13 last night, 6 o'clock, we had the teaser at 6, you know, hey, MJ's back. Then another teaser going into the commercial. We were the first story out in the B block at like 6:10 or 6:12.
Nice position
on Fox. Yeah, it was a great spot.
Tampa Bay's radio station.
In the days of the Q Zoo, everyone listened. It was the zoo in the morning and Mason in the afternoon.
It's like what we used to say about Q105 in the 80s. It's a double-barrel flamethrower.
But as the 80s ended, the irreverent station called the Power Pig arrived.
And to be part of this radio station now is really amazing.
MJ came to Tampa as the dust settled, and his morning show took 93.3 to the top.
It's the MJ Morning Show, of course, Froggy, Fester, Roxanne.
Now he's back at Q105.
Is that not an amazing piece? It goes on for 2 minutes. It's a two-minute piece. Lloyd Sowers did an amazing job, and you have that posted also, right?
I'm in the process.
Okay, so we're going to put, if you missed the video last night on Fox 13 and the Lloyd Sowers story, we will have that posted in just a bit on MJMorningShow.com. That's MJMorningShow.com. And guess who's on the phone? It's Lloyd Sowers from Fox 13. Lloyd, welcome. I think you might be the first guest, actually, outside of regular phone callers. I think you might be the first guest on the relaunch of the MJ Morning Show, Lloyd.
Well, I'm very honored, MJ. Good morning to you.
Hey, what a story. You know, Lloyd, I'm not kissing, you know, Fox 13 butt here. I'm not kissing your butt. But, I mean, you are a television storyteller, and that's a lost art. Your stories, you tell a story, and you do it as well as anyone nationally that I've seen. Your work is amazing.
Well, we kind of lived that, MJ, if you think about it, you know, in the last 30 years or so here in Tampa Bay. I mean, I came in 1987, and the Q Zoo was in full swing, and anybody who was around remembers it, and it was huge. I mean, it was, before I moved to Tampa Bay, when I was in radio, and you remember what it was like before computers, you used to get, trade publications,
yeah.
Radio and records and jock sheets and different things. And I would read about Q Q105 Tampa Bay, you know, and it was Scott Shannon, Cleveland Wheeler, and Jack Harris, Mason Dixon, and all these guys, and they were becoming legendary. And then I moved down here. I get to watch the remember the Zoo Tube?
Yeah,
they were on television,
on cable.
Exactly. So they were doing radio on TV, and so we got to see that. And then what happened with the Power Pig and 93.3? It was a show. It was like a movie in itself to see the whole thing and live the whole thing.
Right. You know, our massive success on 93.3, the MJ and BJ show, then the MJ Morning Show, 18 years of top rating success, the amount of money that we made, you know, no one has anywhere come close to the amount of money that the MJ Morning Show brought in for JCorp/Clear Channel, then iHeart, and we're back now at Q105 with Beasley Broadcasting, with the Beasley Media Group, and I'm going to try to kick that machine all up again. And you know what's amazing, Lloyd? You did a fascinating piece. It's on YouTube, I believe. We can probably find that. Lloyd Sowers, Fox 13, did the video piece on me and my leaving the MJ Morning Show back in 2012. So, Lloyd, you did the Swan Song video piece, and then you just yesterday did the triumphant return of the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
It's the in, the out, the beginning, the end. We just have to do the middle now. The middle still comes, so we'll have to do something on the middle.
All right, I need a story a week, Lloyd, all right?
I don't know, man.
it might be tough.
Hey, awesome job. And when you watch this, if you didn't see it on TV, we're going to post the link on mjmorningshow.com. Just watch how Lloyd crafts the story. It's a lost art. And the work you do as a reporter and a features reporter, people don't do this in broadcasting these days. And I just wanted to, you know, give you a pat on the back.
Well, you know, it's like you guys with, you know, doing local radio, and you talked about it in the piece too. If you watch it, you know, you're able to talk about Tampa Bay specifically, you know, the stories that affect Tampa Bay, the people in Tampa Bay, and you're able to localize it in a way that, you know, national shows can't. So there's a, you know, a lot of choices out there for viewers and for listeners in TV and radio. I mean, there's thousands of channels. But if you can localize something and really bring it to the listener or the viewer in their own home, in their own backyard, in their own community, then you are providing a service nobody else can. So, you know, hats off to you guys at Q105 that are doing that every day.
Thank you. Lloyd Sowers from Fox 13, and what a wonderful, fascinating video and a little radio history in the piece. And we'll get it posted. If you missed it on Fox 13 at 6 o'clock last night, we'll have it posted on mjmorningshow.com. That's mjmorningshow.com. Thank you, my friend.
All right, MJ. Have a great day.
You too. Lloyd Sowers from Fox 13. And I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, what a great guy he is.
Yeah,
it's sweet to be Lloyd Sowers, baby.
Yeah, baby. 8:39. It's the MJ Morning Show back on Q105. Yeah, I remember. I've seen Van Halen probably 5 times total. East Coast, West Coast, all over the place. And watching Eddie Van Halen on the guitar, and it was just a given that he was going to blow into a featured riff where he just went on for, I don't know, 5-7 minutes. Just remarkable. I mean, one of the best guitar players ever in human history, an art form. Just, you're dazzled when you watched him. And listen, there are tons of videos. You can go to YouTube, but, you know, being fairly close to the stage and watching him. And I just remember seeing him back in 08, and then one time after that as well. Watching him play that guitar was just magic. You know, just unbelievable. And, of course, Eddie Van Halen dead at the age of 65 of throat cancer.
Yeah, an amazing talent and a loss to the rock and roll community, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. You've had him now, Kelly Preston, Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
A lot of cancer deaths this year in the world of Hollywood celebrities.
Fester, who are you saying also who died, a bad day to die because he's kind of getting overshadowed?
I forgot his name already. Yeah. It was the guy who sings I Can See Clearly Now.
I can see clearly now, the rain has gone.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
He died yesterday, too.
I only know that because I love the Cocktail soundtrack.
Oh, is that on there?
Of course.
Yes. It is?
Sorry. What's his name?
I don't know the Cocktail soundtrack.
Bobby McFarlane?
No.
Bobby, that was Happy God.
What was it?
Hold on. Did we play that song on Q105? Don't worry, be happy.
If not, we should.
Oh yeah, that's Bobby.
No,
that's Bobby McFerrin. Did we play that? Have you ever heard that song?
No, I have not.
All right.
What? You've never heard it?
No, I've heard it, but not on Q105.
All right, I'm telling you right now. If that song comes up the computer, I'm ejecting that song every single time. I can't stand that song. Don't worry, be happy.
No, I don't think I've heard it on Q105. Johnny Nash
died.
Johnny Nash. I can see clearly now. The rain has gone. SNL secret. So who watched Saturday Night Live? I didn't catch it live. I caught it on the TiVo or Hulu. Right, Hulu's got it the day after. Yeah, so we caught it on Hulu, and
I have to say I didn't watch it. Usually we watch the next day too, and we didn't even get to it.
Little secret. Okay. Saturday Night Live. The audience, technically that audience being in studio, what is that, 8H? I think it's Studio 8H, Saturday Night Live.
Right.
The audience being in there was a violation of New York City ordinances during COVID-19.
Shut it down.
Get
the governor in there.
Tisk.
And shut it down.
Get Cuomo, get the Dumbio in there, de Blasio.
Was Toonsis, did he have a mask on? Couldn't think of another character in the last 20 years.
You pull out Toonsis, the driving cat from Saturday Night Live 1987?
That's the last time it was funny.
Toonsis, the driving cat.
Sorry, Kenan.
Toonsis had a mask on. Yeah.
All right, so Saturday Night Live, in violation, because they had a live studio audience. It was not the full-blown audience, but they had a live audience. That would be a violation. But the little-known fact is, they did it legally. How did they get around it?
Lorne Michaels is a powerful little man.
Yes. That's one answer.
They have these nice glass sheets in between, partition between the sheets like we have in the studio.
Nope.
They said it was a peaceful protest, and they had no problem with 1,000 people getting together.
The only folks that could be in the studio were paid cast members, so...
They paid everybody! Oh.
They paid all of the audience members for Saturday Night Live. That's how they got around the New York State or New York City ordinances of having a live audience during Saturday Night Live. So, and they didn't know this. The audience, and they had a whole bunch of first responders on the floor. You know, those coveted seats right there on the floor. And it was just a lot fewer seats than usual. And they were all first responders that were invited in. And then there were others up in the bleachers in Studio 8H. And they got around it each. And they didn't know this. Upon exiting the show, each audience member got a check for $150 from from NBC Universal.
I'll take it.
Were they all wearing masks in the audience?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I saw them with masks on, everyone. Yeah, absolutely. So that's how they got around them.
Using a loophole.
Right, and you're getting email and texts. And what are your friends saying about the show?
It's a lot of fun. It's nice to hear from people that I haven't heard from in a while and saying, oh, look at this. I love MJ. So one thing I got, listening to you guys made me laugh. Now, this is from one of my close friends in middle school. It was like listening to our phone conversations. He's a guy, by the way, back in middle school. So good. And I thought...
Oh, I thought you were hanging out with a middle schooler now.
Yeah. I was losing it.
Yeah, that'd be like Mary... Who was the too pretty for prison? Deborah Lefebvre.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, she was something else.
But you see, I mean, is that what you aspire to in life? To have maturity level of seventh grade conversation?
Yes. That's where we peaked.
Who is that?
It's one of my friends. He's a doctor now. He's a brain surgeon. Yes. No, he's a doctor.
He's a neurosurgeon?
No, not a nurse. So he's a doctor.
Your snooty-ass neurosurgeon friend is saying listening to this show is like listening to a bunch of middle schoolers?
Yes, exactly. He said it's so good.
What kind of doctor is this hack? what kind of doctor is this quack?
A GP.
Oh, he's a general practitioner. Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were going to say he was a podiatrist.
He's the one that installs the fake asses to all the women with the putty.
Driving around in a van with a gun full of window caulking. He calls himself a doctor and we're a bunch of middle schoolers.
All right. This woman did a brilliant thing. Woman was kidnapped, and she did something really... This is a public service. This is going to be an MJ Morning Show public service announcement. Attention, all ladies, if you're ever kidnapped, we're going to give you a tip. So you're going to want to commit this to the memory bank, all right? So we'll get to that coming up next. It's the MJ Morning Show, 852. This is Q105. I hope this doesn't happen to you, but if it does happen to you, this is brilliant. And this reminded me of something else. Some cretin effectively kidnapped this woman in Utah, holding her against her will. It was sort of a domestic violence deal here. This woman in Utah, she was able to escape. She wrote 911 on her hand and showed it discreetly to a locksmith who was called to the house to change locks.
Ooh.
Wait.
Yeah, this is a crazy story. The woman told the cops that she was being held against her will by Grant Nielsen Eggerstensen.
Never trust an Eggerstensen.
E-G-G-E-R-T-S-E-N. Eggert. Eggert.
Yeah. I don't trust him.
That must be a Salt Lake City area name. Yeah, this guy was in Midway, Utah. It's about 45 miles to the southeast of Salt Lake City. And the woman claimed that this Eggerstensen, who has a key to her place, showed up unannounced on Thursday night, walked in, took her phone, and then was holding her there.
What?
She asked him to leave multiple times, would not leave. And he was holding her in a room against her will, according to the cops. The next day, a repairman was called to change the locks on the front door. So this guy wanted to change the locks on our house.
And he had to call a repairman as opposed to going to, like, the Home Depot or Ace Hardware and buying his own?
Some people know how to fix a leaky toilet. Some people don't, all right?
I'm going to lock you up as soon as I call a locksmith.
So while he was replacing the locks, while the locksmith came, she held up her hand, quietly held up her hand, and she had written 911 on her hand. The locksmith, when he went outside, called 911, called the cops. The cops showed up. As soon as the door was opened up, she ran out and then told the cops the story.
Thank goodness she had pens in that room she was locked in, because otherwise you'd just have to carve it in blood.
Yeah, that's the thing. MJ, is this a public service announcement for people who are getting kidnapped to write stuff on their hands?
Is this
for kidnappers to just pick up all the Sharpies laying around?
Or for locksmiths, always ask why you're changing the lock.
Yeah.
You're not kidnapping anybody in here, are you guys?
Like, what's that 911 mean?
This guy faces charge of aggravated kidnapping in the course of committing unlawful detention as well as criminal trespass of a dwelling, simple assault. So this guy, what a lovely mugshot. What a lovely Utah resident there. Isn't this fantastic?
He's a good-looking Utahnian.
Yeah, man, put this up on the website. Put this up on Roxanne. Put this up on MJMorningShow.com. Folks, MJMorningShow.com is going to become a very integral part of the show. MJMorningShow.com. I also mentioned Vocal Fry. I asked Roxanne, I sent Roxanne a note last night. Hey, Roxanne, do you know what Vocal Fry is? And Roxanne said, I can do an incredible
Vocal Fry. It's like when you really put a lot. Isn't that horrible?
That is it.
That's it. That's all I can take. Because you can get stuck in it. If you keep doing it too long, you'll get stuck in that mode.
Speaking, what is it, like a whiny talk?
It's whiny. The cadence is messed up.
But Vocal Fry is when you talk like this, it's like a creaking. It's called
creaking.
It's Vocal Fry. It's a creaky sound. And like Kim Kardashian, right?
Yes, Kardashians. A lot of people do it because a lot of people watch reality TV, and that's how they talk on reality television.
Oh, my gosh, I got to go to the bathroom.
It's bad for you,
that's
too.
It.
Yes. It's sort of like the last word gets...
And it also goes up. I have to go to the bathroom.
I got
to
go.
How is it bad for you?
Because it puts strain on your vocal cords.
On your cords.
When your mom used to say, don't make that face or it's going to stick like that? Don't talk like that or you're going to be stuck talking
What
like
do you
that.
Mean?
That's it. It's the worst. And you know what's happened is a lot of younger women have started to do that. I don't know if they picked it up from reality television. Yes. Does Kim Kardashian still talk like that or did she back off of the... Give me more Kim Kardashian.
I don't know if she does
Do me a favor. Talk about Kim Kardashian... how she was helping Kanye during the COVID-19 bout that he had.
Well, Kanye has some mood disorders, and I give him medicine, and sometimes he doesn't. It's super annoying. Sometimes he doesn't take it. I can't take it.
The reason why I'm bringing this up is I'm watching NBC Nightly News last night, And they had a story about a former Facebook engineer who quit. He got all pissed off because he thought that Facebook was not doing enough to curb the hate speech on the Facebook platform. So this guy walked out, and they got this big piece. The Washington Post did a story on it. NBC Nightly News last night had a story on it. And they interview this guy, and I'm listening to Ashok Chadwani. That's the guy's name. Former Facebook engineer. He leaves. Listen to this dude as he's interviewed by NBC Nightly News. All right, here we go. I hit the wrong one. Hang on a minute. Let me fade that out. All right, here it is. Listen.
Facebook is really dropping the ball on how to respond to this moment, and it's creating a lot of harm.
Oh, my God. I'm going to puke.
It's disgusting.
Listen to this dude.
Facebook is really dropping the ball on how to respond to this moment, and it's creating a lot of harm.
So, hey, Fessy, get Michelle on the phone.
Sure.
Get Michelle on the phone.
All right, hold on.
Because Michelle and I, we were watching this, and the minute this guy opens his mouth, we look at each other like, what the hell is that?
Facebook's dropping the ball.
What the heck is... All right, listen to this. Here's another one. Here's another one of these bites.
It's very clear to me, after everything that's happened, that Facebook's work has life and death consequences.
All right, do you want to hear any more of this guy?
You hear how that goes up? It happened. I want to punch him in the throat. And his vocal cords are already fried. It doesn't matter.
Roxanne wants to
throat punch this guy.
I can't do any more damage than that's been...
I did not.
He's doing
believe
himself.
Oh. There was a way while working there that I could help move the company to take more seriously some of these really critical issues.
He's making me so mad.
Shut him off! My God!
It was my hope that sharing some thoughts with my colleagues might help them realize the power they have to set Facebook in a better direction.
Oh my God!
He's actually getting more attractive to me. I don't know.
Roxanne, with your dainty little fish, you might want to go karate chop to the neck.
Yeah. Hey, Michelle. My lovely wife, Michelle, on the phone. Hey, Michelle.
Yeah, I couldn't change that channel quick enough.
Hi, Michelle.
Stop.
Hey, Michelle, what do you think of the return of the MJ Morning Show on Q?
You're not fried enough. You got to fry it up.
No, it was so unusual because normally it's girls that talk like
yes.
that. And so I think that's what kind of like the minute I looked up, because I was like, I thought they were interviewing a dude. And so I was kind of confused for a second, but then I just had to change. I just wanted to change the channel as quickly as possible.
Maybe the guy's missing his wang or something. I don't know.
It's like the Jenner dude.
Bruce,
but I think he still has it.
Bruce Jenner. Yeah,
does Bruce Jenner still have it?
I'll have to look.
Did he have that locked off? No, you're right, Michelle. You're right, because usually it's women that mm-hmm. talk like that. It's my God.
Who's the one that said Waskily Wabbit? It's like that.
Oh, Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, it's like a Fudd. Elmer Fudd Fry.
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting Wabbit. Bah.
Yeah, there you go. That's
appropriate, though.
It's very clear to me, after everything that's happened, that Facebook's work has life and death consequences. I did not believe there was a way while working there.
Oh, my God.
Why do you talk in waves?
So Michelle's like, turn this off. We're watching Lester Holt, watching NBC. Turn this off. I can't listen to this guy anymore.
I'm with you, Michelle.
Would have been funny if Lester Holt just puked on the desk to listening to him.
Absolutely. It's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. A couple of radio geeks might get that. 9:17, it's the MJ Morning Show on Q105, and a few minutes ago we were talking about the whole vocal fry thing, and it smacked Michelle and me in the face last night, this DB, this Delta Bravo on a story on NBC Nightly News. This guy, I've never heard a guy with this awful vocal fry like this.
I did not believe there was a way while working there that I could help move the company to take more seriously some of these really critical issues.
So this guy was interviewed. He quit, walked out of Facebook. He was an engineer because he says Facebook is not doing enough to curb hate speech. And he's got the worst vocal fry. And he's Fry, you do it pretty well, too.
Hey, I'm out of here. Facebook is nothing but the
Roxanne?
I'm going to post some hate speech about his voice. Because I hate it.
To fry it up a bit.
I hate you more than any hate speech on Facebook. All right, hold on. We got Chris is on the line. Hi, Chris in St. Petersburg. You are on the MJ Morning Show. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
All right,
good
so morning. What's the deal, Chris?
So I am a 50-year-old gay male in the gay community in St. Pete, Tampa Bay area. And I notice it's very prevalent with a lot of the younger gay males coming out. There's like we call them twinks in the community. So a lot of those guys, I noticed like they talk like that, and it's just takes me back to that old movie Valley Girls.
Well, you know, when you talk like that, it's not that we're making fun of somebody who's stuck talking like that. It's a choice to talk like that.
Well, unless he has correct. Killer strep throat.
For me, I think it's like, it's, you know, you pick things up from your friends, and if you hear somebody talking sure. like that, and like you said, watching the reality TV shows and stuff, you have a tendency to pick those kinds of things up and pick those habits up with people. So, and then it just passes along because it's like, oh, I want to be like him because that's cool the way he talks.
Right. Mirroring communication.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, thanks, Chris. Have a nice day.
Yeah, you guys too, and welcome back.
Chris, I gotta say, it's actually kind of hot when you do it.
Thanks,
like
Chris.
It.
All right, so you say the younger gay guys are doing the whole. Maybe that guy from Facebook is a gay dude, and is that like a mating call or something? I don't know.
It makes him sound annoyed like the whole time. Like, oh, I don't know. That's right.
It's not a choice, Roxanne. I was born this way.
You choose to speak like that.
You guys ready for some morons in the news?
Let's go.
Morons in the news, and I think Fester and Froggy, and, well, you, Roxanne, as well, probably going to identify with this. See if he can... Oh. You know what this is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What is it?
It's 9 o'clock hour.
Take it off.
All right, so...
Are you trying to find the most annoying right. things to our ears? Right. First a guy with super voice fry, now Baby Shark?
So vocal fry.
I hate Baby Shark.
All right, there's a reason... That's it. I'm not going to play anymore. That is grating okay. beyond belief.
I actually love it, but...
The reason why I am...
Oh, jeez.
All right, the reason why... That's it. I won't do it anymore. No more. Playing Baby Shark on repeat has been officially deemed a form of torture. And this is a moron in the news story, because I don't know why they would do this. Two former detention officers at an Oklahoma jail have been accused of subjecting inmates to inhumane punishment by forcing them to listen to Baby Shark on repeat. An investigation found that at least four prisoners at the Oklahoma County Jail were made to stand for hours with their hands cuffed behind their backs while the kids' song Baby Shark played on a loop at loud volume. This happened last November and December, according to the Oklahoma newspaper.
Oh, God. Just take them to my house if you want to torture them. We listen to that crap every day.
The ex-officers Gregory Cornell Butler Jr., 21, and Christian Charles Miles, 21, were charged Monday with misdemeanor counts of cruelty to a prisoner and conspiracy. And Miles allegedly confirmed that he and Butler systematically worked together and used an attorney visitation room, you know, where the attorneys can meet with their clients?
Sure.
At the jail, they use that as like a little a shark box. So they put him in the baby shark. You're going to the shoe. You're going to the shark shoe. They put him in the lawyer, lock him up, handcuff him, and then play it over and over again on a loop.
What's next? Hourly visits from Blippi?
Jesus, we're tortured.
Oh, my God. I mean, how dumb are these idiots?
I mean, really, any song, like, back to back to back to back would be annoying.
MJ, wasn't there a story years ago that they would torture, like, terrorists?
Like with Metallica
or something?
Abu Ghraib? You're talking about Abu Ghraib?
I don't even remember.
You know what? At some of the black sites, like the CIA, that maybe they would use, waterboarding, but also, with Saddam Hussein, didn't they play like, heavy metal music? I know that's been done as a tactic, and that's been in movies, where they're trying to interrogate somebody and they'll blast, music at high volumes. So. Oh, no, dear.
Jesus, take it off!
Take it off! Please, take it off! Take this! So, hey, that's why we call it morons in the news. So these guys are in trouble here. Yeah, Butler also confirmed that they used the booth as a means of punishment. The since-retired supervisor, 50-year-old Christopher Raymond Hendershot, was also charged for allegedly knowing about this rogue discipline operation.
I mean, it's just a song. Yeah, God.
I don't know how scarred the guys really were.
The Oklahoma County District Attorney, David Prater, said that he would have filed felony charges if that would have been an option. He said it was unfortunate that he could not find a felony statute to fit the scenario.
The song's not that bad. Okay, it is.
Baby Shark is a reason.
Have you heard the whole Baby Shark song, MJ? You don't have young children.
No, I was aware of it, but I don't want to. That's all I want to hear. Okay, that is plenty.
The irony is... Now, the little fish at the end are free at last, and those suckers are still in jail.
Still in jail. All right. 9:24, it's the MJ Morning Show. A whole pile of morons in the news back in just a second here, as the MJ Morning Show has returned to Q105.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. MJ back along with Froggy and Fester and Roxanne.
And congratulations, Tom Brady, offensive NFC Offensive Player of the Week. He's done that more than any other NFL player in history, of course.
That's what happens when a 63-year-old throws five touchdown passes.
Hey, I didn't say his age because that's like saying, oh, great job, Tom, for 43-year-old. It's like, hey, you look good for your age, Roxanne.
Hang on a minute. Tom just walked into the studio. Tom, congratulations, buddy.
Thank you for having me. I have a little bit of a sore arm, but well worth it. My varicose veins?
What's that crap on TV that Sebastian Gorka is pushing? I got joint pain. All my radio friends have joint pain.
I don't know, but I'm plumb out of...
Everyone at Salem Media has joint pain.
Hey.
We're all decrepit. Oh, my God. Oh, I bent over. I can't get up.
Hey, whippersnapper, do you have any Metamucil? I just ran out.
How about we just congratulate Tom Brady every day on having the greatest life ever? Six Super Bowls,
it is good.
Life. It's good.
Would it be odd for me to say that Tom Brady has remarkable skin for a 43-year-old guy?
Well, thank you.
Does like his wife put him through the typical regimen? Is that it?
I think she probably has some tricks up her sleeve, and I think he probably follows a TB12 diet.
It's paper thin, like almost like Kleenex. Because I'm so old,
Froggy with his Tom Brady impression.
Yeah.
No, listen, Tom Brady, for 43, in great shape. Five touchdown passes?
Mm-hmm.
He's on fire.
I'm going to drink bone broth all week just for that. Yeah. And all of his powders, his veggie powders.
How about Tom Brady come down to the studio and just drill Froggy in the joint?
I love it.
With as fast as he can.
Hey, do you remember when I went to play tennis with Pete Sampras back in the day at Saddlebrook? You remember that?
Oh, who could forget?
I do.
And what was the story? Michelle was taking tennis lessons. And we were joking around on the air. It's like, yeah, who's giving Michelle tennis lessons? And it was a great life. Genevieve, she was giving her tennis lessons in like Palmasia area, whatever the heck it was. And we made a joke about, hey, why can't Pete Sampras? Because Sampras used to live in town at that point. Pete Sampras lived.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about, it turned out Pete Sampras was listening and called the radio station. He called us and said, hey, you guys can come to one of my practices. I'll hit some serves. I'll teach Michelle how to play. So we actually drove up to Saddlebrook and met Pete Sampras. And he actually played a little tennis with Michelle. He said, hey, MJ, get, because Sampras listened to us. And he said, hey, get out on the court. And he said, return this serve. And I don't play tennis at all, but I know how to hold a racket. I can attempt. He hit a serve that must have been 130 miles an hour. It whizzed by my head like a bullet. I couldn't even lift up my tennis racket fast enough to even attempt to get the racket on the ball.
He was trying to kill you.
He thinks so.
You know what?
He saw Michelle.
He played with Michelle for 20 minutes. He's like, she's beautiful.
You
she's funny.
Hit him right in the temple.
Let me get rid of this short guy.
Take me out.
Hey, MJ, lean into this serve.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, congratulations to not only Tom Brady, how about St. Petersburg?
Mm-hmm, I saw that.
St. Petersburg making the Condé Nast Traveler list. This is strong.
Oh, I thought Condé Nast Traveler.
It's Condé Nast.
Oh.
What do you think I say?
I thought you said cotton ass.
Oh, no.
Which sounds comfortable, but...
The former Secretary of State has a travel blog?
Not Condoleezza.
Oh, Condoleezza, I'm sorry.
What do you think? A cotton ass? Yeah, and it's not Condom. It's a Condé Nast magazine and website. For the first time, St. Petersburg, for the first time ever, St. Pete named one of the top 10 large cities to visit in their 2020 Traveler Reader's Choice Awards, and that came out yesterday. 715,000 readers actually voted. That is the biggest number of voters ever. They've done it for 33 years. And the poll considers hotels, restaurants, attractions, value. And the magazine called St. Pete perfect for a weekend getaway. Talking about the amazing white sand beaches. Well, St. Pete beaches historically have made the list of like the best beaches in the world.
Right? Mm-hmm,
you know, you go down to, you know, Fort DeSoto, you go, I mean, just amazing stuff. Talks about the Salvador Dali Museum and the Don Cesar and, you know, beach drive, as long as you don't get harassed while you're, you know, dining out.
You'll have a good meal, regardless.
Yeah. Most likely. Have you been to the new pier yet, MJ?
Oh, and that's on the list, too. The new pier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have not been to the new pier yet, but I will make a point to get to the new pier. Yes.
You know, we had dinner there a couple of weeks ago. We sat at the top of the pier overlooking, like, Albert Witted airstrip, and it was great watching the planes take off. It was really an awesome experience.
All right, congratulations, St. Pete. All right, morons in the news, and Roxanne, you love airplane fights?
I love airplane fights.
Have you ever been on a flight with an airplane flight?
No.
You ever been on a flight with a fight?
No, mostly just I watch videos of them. But sometimes I want to fight people on the plane.
Here's my entertainment. I find videos of people fighting on airplanes. And of course, there's always been the drunk idiots on airplanes, but with COVID-19 and the mask wearing and the requirement, it's a whole different ball game these days because people are getting to fights over masks. I probably remember, five or six of these videos in just the last couple of months.
Oh, sure. I love the fights because it just takes you know when you're flying, you know how they feel. Everyone is just one drink away from an airplane fight. But this recent one, we have to take a look. They were fighting because one guy didn't have his mask on, and the other guy was trying to encourage him to put it on, and not in a very polite way, so they start going at it. But then you're exchanging so many germs once you start doing it.
Yeah, when you start yelling, and you've seen the slow motion or the special high-speed, we can see the spittle.
Right.
In normal conversation, you can't. Now, we all know the spit talkers, that every time they're mm-hmm. talking to you, a piece of spit flies out and hits you on the chin or whatever. But for the folks that don't visibly spit talk, everyone, when you're talking, there are small particles that are just coming out of your mouth. It just happens. I hate to gross people out, but if you're at dinner with friends, you're at a four-top at a restaurant, you guys are having conversation. Stuff's flying all over the table. Stuff is flying on your steak. I mean, just the way it is. And just, it's a different deal now with COVID-19.
Roxanne, can you spit on this steak tartare we're having? Just make it really fantastic. That'd be great.
Do you want big droplets, small droplets, or
big?
Right, okay. So, Kyle, Coop, did you bleep this? Are you sure? Are you positive? Because there were hidden F-bombs in it. Are you sure? You went over? Yes. Okay. I got the dump button here.
Oh, geez.
All right. So we have the audio, and the deets on this are, this was a flight from
Allegiant.
You know what? It would have been better if it was Spirit Airlines, you know? Spirit attracts just a high clientele, don't they?
Allegiant's not too far off.
All right. So
you want to wear shoes on our flight? It's $5.
I have never been on Spirit. I've never been on Allegiant. I just have it, you know.
On your bucket list?
No. Yeah, absolutely. On my bucket list. Flight 607, Mesa, Arizona to Provo, Utah. Is that where John Coctosin lives? Is
he, the 911 kidnapper guy.
Provo, Utah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that's
different.
That was a Fletch reference. Who was? Did they go to Provo in the movie Fletch?
I haven't seen Fletch in Moon River.
So the flight was going to Provo, Utah. What happened? The guy refused to just simply put his mask on, cover his mouth and face?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's Roxanne's favorite pastime now, listening and watching these fights on airplanes. So this guy had a face shield on, and he didn't think that he needed to wear an additional mask. Oh, so he had like a little plastic shield.
Plastic thing. Yep.
And then, listen to this. A crew member indicated the guy was also on a flight earlier. The guy was on a flight the day before, and he was also arguing How many flight attendants do they have? Would they have three flight attendants in Allegiant? What is
that? Actually, just two, and they work the Provo route.
Apparently so. So, big, huge fight on the flight. Check this out. Moron in the news. Former library employee accused of stealing, get a load of this, over $1.3 million in printer toner over a decade.
Oh, my God. Ooh.
Dude. $1.3 million. A former Texas library employee accused of stealing $1.3 million in printer toner over about 12 years, over a decade. Randall Whitted, who worked in accounting at the Austin Public Library, allegedly misused the library's credit cards to buy vastly more toner than they needed. Then he took, and you know what they call toner? Toner is liquid
gold. It is expensive.
Listen, you could buy, like, I've got an HP 402 printer behind me. I bought this printer. That's right. I got to bring my own printer here to Q105. I want to
know
this.
I know what you're going to say
I bought this printer for $149. Buying the OEM toner cartridge is like $149. I find the good off brands where you can buy like five cartridges or four cartridges off Amazon for like, you know, $79.99. That's the way to do it. And once you find the reputable companies and, you don't get the crap toners, you can find decent aftermarket toner. But is that not amazing?
So he would like have a black market for toner? Would he sell it on eBay? What would he do?
So he took the toner cartridges home, stored them in his garage, and resold them online.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
I mean, listen.
Froggy the Felon over here.
Some people are entrepreneurs. Some people aren't.
Is this awful?
How'd they catch him?
His fingers had
ink. You know how much toilet paper?
Yeah, lots of toner on his fingers.
You know how much toilet paper I stole from the other place we used to work? I mean, it's got to be thousands of dollars worth.
You stole toilet paper from 4002 Gandhi?
Big rolls. For years.
Oh, boy. Don't say too loudly. They'll make you make restitution over there down the block at iHeart. It's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. It's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. And Froggy, it's a female dementia patient, but Froggy had a...
Yes, I've got... Well,
when they get this old, they all meld in the one. Yeah,
Froggy, for years, did the Dementia Don character. You know, we got to play some of your old Froggy calls. I haven't played a crotchety call yet. Maybe we'll dig up one of these classics in just a bit. Now, this family's furious. This patient walked out of a Dade City nursing home.
I'm out of here.
The woman, 74 years old, has dementia. Turns out she wandered miles away from the nursing home, and she was picked up by the cops, and when they ran her name, they found out that she had an outstanding DUI warrant from years and years ago, and they took her and locked her up. And
The
family's furious that they let her walk out of the nursing home, and then she gets picked up on a DUI warrant. She got the DUI. She completed the community service, but she overlooked some kind of a online course. And they booked her without bond. Yeah, she had dementia. And it's like, hey, surprise! You're also booked on an old DUI warrant.
I've never driven in my life. I don't understand.
Actually, ma'am, it's from 2014. Yes.
2014? What does that even mean?
The family's like so pissed off.
I would be too.
All right. Folks, day three of the MJ Morning Show.
Yes.
Not bad. I don't think we screwed up anything big time today, right?
I wouldn't say it was bad. You're right.
All right. Remember, MJMorningShow.com, the website, tons of material up, MJMorningShow.com. You want to send us email? MJ@MJMorningShow.com. Fire off email to the show, MJ@MJMorningShow.com. Spread the word that the MJ Morning Show is back. We are back Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. on Q105.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.